Hello there, and thanks for joining me for the podcast today, the Psychology Report. The topic today is failure of being successful. You know, there are people who are highly successful. Business, church leaders, pastors, hospital administrators, all kinds of people who start a business of some kind or come into a business, develop it, create a very large market, create a very large sales force. In all the ways you might recognize it, the company is successful and the executive is highly successful. But unfortunately, the executive can't handle success. And life ends in tragedy. What about people like that? Why can't people be successful and live with success rather than to die as a result of success? Why is it that people just cannot manage a life and a business that are successful? Well, let's take a look at that. Take a look at the life of Rick Collette. He had all that it takes to be successful. He was the son of a struggling French immigrant. He built a small mail order tool business called Brookstone, and it became one of the hugely successful national businesses of adult toys and gadgets. He was handsome, happily married, loved his employees and his colleagues, and as it turned out, he was deeply despondent and depressed. After the business got going and he was successful, obviously, developed the business and it was strong, something happened. Something clicked. And right out of the blue, he takes his life. He writes a note and says, "Please forgive me, but the thought of going through the torture of living is just too much to bear." He wrote this note, went into his garage, locked the doors, turned on the car of his BMW, and before you know it, he was gone. His wife later revealed that Rick had been depressed for half of his adult life. People put him on a pedestal because he was successful. He was constantly fearing that he would let people down. He swung from feeling totally powerful to feeling helpless. And when you feel helpless, you're depressed. And when you feel helpless, you're in a box you can't get out of. You're in a situation that is just impossible. And sometimes life doesn't seem worth it. Or the struggle to get out of that situation doesn't seem to be worth it. So the question really comes, why do people who succeed actually see themselves as a failure? In other words, we might call this the destructiveness of success. Why? Well, take a look at some of the things that take place among such people who are successful. That is, they started small, they started like anybody else, maybe below the line or maybe average, but they built an empire, they built a business by all practical purposes and all measures and all indicators, they're a success. You know, in the process of that, what happens to the executive? He loses, number one, he loses personal identity in his success. In other words, people look at the success and don't look at him. People look at the business and don't look at him, look over him. In other words, he's really not so important anymore. What's really now important is the company, is the business, and all the employees and all the executives that he's put in place to run the company and to keep its success going. In other words, he can't handle the shift from being the center of attention down to just being in the background, and sometimes even overlooked, or sometimes not even given credit for the success that he achieved in creating that business. We call it the loss of identity, the loss of of being recognized and being praised and approved and affirmed on an ongoing, regular basis. That's why people fail, even though they're successful. Here's another one. Sometimes this is called encore anxiety. In other words, sure they've built a business, and sure they have achieved success, and sure they've been recognized for that, and they recognize it. But what happens is they become fearful, anxious, nervous as to whether they can keep the encore going, whether they can keep the success going, whether they can keep the business even building even more. In other words, what do people want of you when you're successful? More success. What do stockholders want when you create a business that's paying off stock? They want more. You know, what is it that your friends and your family want when you build a business and you create a mountain of money, income? They want more. It's the old joke. What does a millionaire want? Well, he wants another million. But their anxiety is where they can produce it, where they can achieve it. So they become overpowered with this kind of anxiety and become immobilized. Anxiety immobilizes. A little bit of anxiety is not good. You don't get enough motivation from that if you have just a little anxiety. A lot of anxiety is bad because it immobilizes you, impairs you, takes away your creativity, takes away your productivity, takes away your motivation, takes away your interest, takes away your energy. It's an energy drain. Moderate anxiety is what produces success. Moderate anxiety is what produces greater productivity. And what is hard is for some of these people to maintain a moderate level of anxiety. They become overwhelmed with anxiety and then become impaired. That's why people who are successful eventually fail. Or here's another reason. The expectations get greater. You know, when you have done well and you've succeeded and achieved, people now expect you to get well and better and achieve greater and build it even bigger. Or the new job that is out there and is going to hire you, and you built a business before and now they expect you to build their business. It's like a pastor in a church. He does very well in one church. So then another church calls him to be their pastor, and he goes there and he lives with that problem of the expectation is great because the new church now expects him to produce what he did in the previous church. And the churches may be very different, and he can't do it. So he fails. He's a failure after being a success. So there's this concept of success leads to greater expectation. We expect more. And we expect another success, and then another success, either in the same business or going into another business. Or if you start a second business, you start a third business, there's the expectation that that business will grow like the first one, and so on. So expectations become an enormously powerful influence upon the thinking of an executive and can be a very immobilizing, impairing attitude and value placed on them. Well, here's another one. Here's the fourth reason. Executives may sense that they have succeeded far beyond their own competence and now live with the dread that people are going to find out that they really are weak, that they really can't handle it. You see, if you succeed, for whatever reason, sometimes it's just luck if you want to think of it that way. Sometimes it's the circumstances that were prevailing at the time in the marketplace, in the community, or in your employees. You were successful because of other reasons. And you really were not the chief leader of success at all. You only pretended you were, or you were only given the acclaim from other people. But really, you live with this fear now that this expectation is that you're going to be able to maintain that success, keep building it, when in fact you live with the dread that people are going to find out that you're weak and you can't handle it. That's a tough one, okay? You know, there's another reason why sometimes people who succeed actually end up as a failure. You know, when you build a business or you are a pastor of a church that is large or becomes large, you now have more people. And you know what? When you have more people, you know what you have? You have more problems. My father had a little phrase saying something like this: poor people have money, but rich people have money and problems. And I think that is a wise statement, because I think it applies to this kind of a situation as well. Workers have money. They earn money. But when you're in a position of an executive, particularly a successful executive, you know what? You have money. You're paid a lot. But you also have a lot of problems. And there are a lot of people who know how to make money, but they don't know how to solve problems. They know how to run a business, but they don't know how to deal with the people problems within that business. Customer problems. They don't know how to deal with that. And that overwhelms them and overpowers them and is the basis of their own, you know, failure. Expectations are great, obviously, when you're a success. And with that, people have their problems. They expect a lot out of you, and if you don't produce, they create a problem for you. In the same way as if you have something big, you now have more people. You not only have more problems, but you have more criticism. You have more complaints. You know, none of us like to deal with criticism. None of us like to deal with a complaint. None of us like to deal with people who make fun of us, or who put us down, or who think less of us, or who just criticize us in some kind of way. None of us, nobody likes that. And there are very few of us that know how to handle that. Can let it go over your back like water over the duck's back. Very few people can do that. That's what you should do, but that's what very few people can do that. We all become very emotional when we are criticized. We become very upset and agitated and irritable, but don't know how to handle it. Don't know how to process it. Don't know how to resolve it. Don't know how to confront the person who's complaining and resolve it in an equitable way. Very few people know how to do that. And just because you're successful in a business does not mean you're successful in people problems. You're a failure in people problems, even though you're a success in creating a business. You know, there's another reason. At the top, it's a very lonely place. There's an article written some years ago that I read that impressed me very much. It's lonely at the top. The top dog howls alone. The top dog is out there all by himself to defend himself, protect himself, create for himself, build for himself, come up with problems for himself, deal with issues alone. It's a lonely world. And when you feel alone, there's nobody to talk to. When you feel depressed, or you feel anxious, you feel nervous, you're on the edge of making a decision and you don't know quite what decision to make, there's nobody to talk to, because it's hard to admit that because you're a success that you need consultation from somebody else, or that you need the help of somebody else. Hard to admit that. In fact, some people can't admit that. So they have to pretend that they can run a business and they're at the top of the pile. They're all alone up there. Nobody to talk to. But yet they convince themselves that they can handle it, that they can do it. And they start making decisions that are inappropriate, decisions which are untimely, decisions which are just totally inappropriate, wrong, you know, for the occasion that they're in at the time. So there's less intimacy, if you will. There's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to share with. There's nobody to cry on their shoulder, and nobody to really be empathetic and be compassionate. You know, if you fail, or if you make a mistake, or if the stock level drops, or if your attendance level drops for a period, who do you consult when you're at the top, when you're the top dog? It's hard to come down and consult with somebody. You can't consult with somebody within the system. You got to consult with somebody outside the system. And who do you have? Who will do that? And then lastly, your skills, job skills. An executive that's successful was successful because he had certain job skills to build a business. But that in no way implies that he has the job skills to maintain a business. There are people who know how to maintain businesses. We call them managers. There are people we know who know how to build business. We call them leaders. You know, and a leader is not a manager, and a manager is not a leader almost 90% of the time. Rarely is a manager also a leader, and a leader also a manager. Rarely. They're usually two different people. And sometimes it's hard to make a decision. It's hard to come to that point where you make the decision and say, I have led this business, I have built the business, now I need a manager to take over and run it. It's hard to make a decision to say, I have built this business, I have created this success, now I need to sell it and get out because I don't have the skills to take it to the next level. Or it's very difficult to say, I have built this business, it's a success, I enjoy the success, but I need to turn it over to somebody. I need somebody to step in and run it. And I need to be a secondary partner. Or I need to be just on the board, but not run the business. See, making those kind of decisions are timely, they're vital, they're extremely important when you make them. And if you don't make them, they can be the downfall and the reason you succeed. Pardon me, the reason you fail, even though you're a success. So there you are. Successful people can be great failures. Successful people can go on being successful. Successful people can be disappointing. Successful people can be hurtful to you, hurtful to themselves, hurtful to their families. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. You know what he said? It takes a steady hand to hold a full cup. You know, that's what it is. That steady hand is that management skill to hold a full cup, a business that has developed to its fullest and is now labeled a success. If you don't have the steady hand, it's time to get out. It's time to move on and let somebody else take the business and manage it and maintain it or take it to the next level. So choices have to be made. Decisions have to be made at very critical junctions in the life of a business. So executives, if you're an executive, take heart. This might explain some of the reasons you feel the way you feel or felt the way you felt at some point in time in your business. If you're a young executive and you're in the building of the business right now, build it. Build it to the greatest level that you can build it. And then make a decision as to whether you should maintain it or not, or whether somebody else should, and whether you should go off and build another business or do something else. In other words, there's a critical time for critical decision making. So this has been the Psychology Report. Thanks for joining me. This is an interesting topic, and it answers a big question. Why successful people fail? Why successful companies go bankrupt? Well, there's answers to that. So thanks for joining me, and I certainly send you to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. And if you're in a situation where you have somebody in your family that is in need of a assisted living facility, Green Gables Care Home. Green Gables Care Home is a company that has about six or seven different homes for people who need assisted living. And Fresno, California. So Green Gables Care Home. Contact them, look up their website, and that might be a place you may want to consider. There may be somebody in your home that, or your family or your neighborhood or your friendship circle that is in need of a place like that. I recommend them. Great people, been in business for a long time, and this is an example of a business that's been successful. So you might want to look at it in terms of the possibility of meeting a need that you may have yourself or in your family. Hey, thanks for joining me. Psychology Report, and bye for now.